husband should conduct himself towards his wife, or how a father should bring up his children, or how a master should rule his slaves. This department of philosophy, I say, is accepted by some as the only significant part, while the other departments are rejected on the ground that they stray beyond the sphere of practical needs. As if any man could give advice concerning a portion of life without having first gained a knowledge of the sum of life as a whole. But Aristo the Stoic, on the contrary, believes the above-mentioned department to be of slight import. He holds that it does not sink into the mind, having in it nothing but old wives' precepts, and that the greatest benefit is derived from the actual dogmas of philosophy and from the definition of the supreme good. When a man has gained a complete understanding of this definition and has thoroughly learned it, he can frame for himself a precept directing what is to be done in a given case. Just as the student of javelin throwing keeps aiming at a fixed target and thus trains the hand to give direction to the missile, and when, by instruction and practice, he has gained the desired ability, he can then employ it against any target he wishes, having learned to strike not any random object, but precisely the object at which he has aimed. He who has equipped himself for the whole of life does not need to be advised concerning each separate item, because he is now trained to meet his problem as a whole, for he knows not merely how he should live with his wife or his son, but how he should live aright. In this knowledge, there is also included the proper way of living with wife and children. Cleanthes holds that this department of wisdom is indeed useful, but that it is a feeble thing unless it is derived from general principles. That is, unless it is based upon a knowledge of the actual dogmas of philosophy and its main headings. This subject is therefore twofold, leading to two separate lines of inquiry. First, is it useful or useless? And second, can it of itself produce a good man? In other words, is it superfluous, or does it render all other departments superfluous? Those who urge the view that this department is superfluous argue as follows. If an object that is held in front of the eyes interferes with the vision, it must be removed. For just as long as it is in the way, it is a waste of time to offer such precepts as these. Walk thus and so, extend your hand in that direction. Similarly, when something blinds a man's soul and hinders it from seeing a line of duty clearly, there is no use in advising him, live thus and so with your father, thus and so with your wife. For precepts will be of no avail while the mind is clouded with error. Only when the cloud is dispersed will it be clear what one's duty is in each case. Otherwise, you will merely be showing the sick man what he ought to do if he were well, instead of making him well. Suppose you are trying to reveal to the poor man the art of acting rich. How can the thing be accomplished as long as his poverty is unaltered? You are trying to make clear to a starveling in what manner he is to act the part of one with a well-filled stomach. The first requisite, however, is to relieve him of the hunger that grips his vitals. The same thing, I assure you, holds good of all faults. The faults themselves must be removed, and precepts should not be given which cannot possibly be carried out while the faults remain. Unless you drive out the false opinions under which we suffer, the miser will never receive instruction as to the proper use of his money, nor the coward regarding the way to scorn danger. You must make the miser know that money is neither a good nor an evil. Show him men of wealth who are miserable to the last degree. You must make the coward know that the things which generally frighten us out of our wits are less to be feared than rumor advertises them to be, whether the object of fear be suffering or death, that when death comes, fixed by law for us all to suffer, it is often a great solace to reflect that it can never come again, that in the midst of suffering, resoluteness of soul will be as good as a cure.